Austin.
Culture.
Club.
Huh? Podcast.
You gotta say.
Austin.
Culture.
Club. Podcast. Hey, Ruben.
Hello, Joey.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome back. Today we have Mary in the house, Joey in the house, producer Julian, little Lena.
Hi.
And of course, our esteemed guest, Uncle Staple.
Uncle Staple.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah. Leader of the Staple Expo. I got the poster right. I didn't put that on the speaker. Here. Happening in 2 weeks.
Week and a half. What? Yeah. Less than 2 weeks now. Yeah. April 13th and 14th.
It's going to be fantastic. It is the city of Austin's premier local art zine small press.
I think it's the premier event in the Southwest.
Oh, there you go.
Independently created comic zines, art, crafts, games, and more. Yeah, so we're going to be over 100 creators working in a bunch of different mediums, a lot of comics, zinesters. Got more tabletop game designers this year than we have in the past, too. Which is
I know last year you had a thing at Austin Books where you had like 9 or 10 local, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
they work on their own ARP
games.
Role-playing games.
Role-playing in board games and card game.
Creative games.
That people making their own games kind of blew up over the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I got into it. I didn't make any, but I kickstarted a whole bunch.
Awesome.
And so I was like, I would kind of want to feature this. So actually Brad owns Austin Books. He had that space there, and he was like, why don't you come do some stuff in this space we have. And
they lease the whole space
and then the what's it, Sidekick store that's kind of around
the back
side of Austin Books, and it's a nice space. So I was like, well, I didn't kind of want to do the same thing that I would do at Staple, which is, you know, just art and comics. So I was like, I'd like to do something with indie game design.
I popped in for the Austin Book thing, but I'm also, this is going to sound terrible, I don't really know much about role-playing games. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really have a history of that. Like, I'm really always been into comic books and sequential art and all right. that, zines, and my friends, sticker artists, you know, street artists. But I've never really got into it. I guess I grew up in a real small town, and sometimes you miss the boat on things in those old days. It was pre-internet, you know?
Yeah. It's never too late.
He missed the boat.
Digimon.
He missed the boat.
I missed what? I can't miss the boat.
He's so old, they didn't even have boats.
He was he was blacked out.
I had baseball cards, yes.
I hadn't run an event for a few years at that point. I kind of wanted to start with a little small thing. Kind of, it was still a lot of work. But it went really well. Everybody had a good time. I think there was maybe 10 or 11 game designers there. All but two were local folks.
Wow.
And then, I think I got some guys from San Antonio. There's one guy from the Dallas area who came down who used to make comics and sell them at Staple. But now he's switched into making little indie role-playing games, little one-shot games. And which he publishes in comics format.
Mondo does all those like movie board games too, right? Like, didn't they do like
they used to? Yeah, they did like an Aliens board game, I believe.
The thing was real popular. Yeah. Funko
bought Mondo, and Mondo's still there, but they kind of fired everybody.
Yeah, I thought they kind of like shut it down, but maybe.
Yeah, I thought that they shut it down. And
they put toys out a little bit.
Funko.
It's under some weird
imprint.
Called something with has to do with an alien. It's the name of like it doesn't. It's not called Mondo. You know, like,
huh.
This alien, but the imprints and stuff still, and like
Yeah, they still do the records. I'm still kind of pay attention to it. I'm in like a couple Facebook groups and stuff.
Did you ever?
But they're not really doing any like the what they were doing before, like the posters and the art shows and.
It's a tough gig. Did you ever go to the Mondo Con there?
I did.
The shows with a couple of those.
Well, they're selling their company.
Starting to run an event, they asked me for advice. Run an event. That's why it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the first Mondo Con, if I'm correct, they had Jeff Darrow there and Mignola was there. And I got a Hellboy print from Mignola, mm-hmm. and I got Jeff Darrow to sign my Hard Boiled, and it was just like a great day for
yeah.
me.
Sign your what?
Oh, it, and like nobody was talking.
You know what?
I'm sorry. Nobody was.
Like eggs?
You bought
yes, my hard boiled eggs.
You still got them? Did you pickle the eggs? Or
I
what?
Still have. Yes. Mike, yes.
Dang.
Mike Mignola signs your eggs. Yeah. You don't get rid of them.
Yeah, you pickle them.
I got him to sign my screw-on head comic book. And this is like. And Mignola, I'm not trying to be rude or anything. He never, ever, 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 ever steps foot in Austin.
No.
So this is like my one shot to go over there
it's
and bug
very,
him. He wasn't very nice either, but it was
very
kind of funny.
Shy and retiring man. I talked to him. When I went to that MondoCon that he was at, and
yeah.
nobody was talking to him. Was
I know, it was crazy.
Nobody knew it.
I was bugging him.
Was
and then
they reach out to a different crowd. And
yeah.
If I'd tried to get Mignola at Staple a few times, and he wasn't available, but I would have.
Well, Jeff Darrow was there making fun of Mignola, too. He was, like, kind of clowning him. It was kind of fun. It was, like, great. I was just like. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't like it here. He was just laughing and stuff.
Interesting.
Ruben, we should do topics.
Okay, we should do topics. I apologize. I didn't mean to hijack the podcast.
Topics.
So we're going to do basically your Austin Culture Club. So we try to do topics that are related to the city of Austin, you know, and how we hate a lot of the things that are going on here. I just gave him the rundown. Why don't you give him the rundown?
Unless,
guys?
Unless any of y'all were born here, I've been here longer than all of you, so.
Okay.
Okay.
I've been here since 99 also.
Beat you.
I moved to Austin in 2004, but I was in Leander.
That doesn't count. Yeah.
Well, that's back when Leander wasn't.
It was like a farm.
Yeah. Because now Leander's like a full blown city.
Yeah, they got like a Whole Foods and shit out there.
It's crazy out there. Yeah, there's a train.
There's a train?
Yeah.
Choo-choo.
Topics.
Flyer.
Topics.
Thing that nobody rides.
Leander has a train. Next topic.
The Zephyr is coming back.
Tell people what the Zephyr is that. Aren't
we
familiar.
All know what the Zephyr is.
Not our fans. We got
our
some
fans especially know
the millennials.
What,
what does topics mean?
Do you know what the Zephyr is?
No.
See?
She's ridden the Zilker Park Zephyr.
What is the Zephyr?
It's the train at Zilker Park.
What's Zilker Park? What?
Yeah, what
don't embarrass me.
What do the kids call Zilker Park? They call it Z-Dog
don't take
Park.
Your kids
it's where the slack lines are. All the dogs are unleashed. Shout out Dan Bazayan.
It's a big park. Like
I've been to a lot of parks.
It's the park with the train.
They said
the park
by Barton Springs.
But oh yeah.
They said
yeah.
It's got a new name too.
They're remodeling it.
I forgot the new name.
Hmm.
Yes. The Zephyr's coming back.
When is it coming back?
Supposedly April.
It is April.
It is April.
Like a lot of things in Austin that never actually happens when they say it's gonna happen.
Is that an April Fool's joke or
no,
was
that's
it real?
Not an April Fool's joke.
If they can open it in April, then it'll be open at least for 2 months before they close it for
ACL. Yes. Touche. That's a good point.
Wait, I feel like maybe it rides around.
Oh, they're bringing back, what do you call it, too? Blues on the Green.
What's that?
Blues on the Green is
cool.
A concert series they have at Zilker, and they kind of canceled it because, I don't know, it's gotten too big, and they need, like, security, and there's nobody, I don't know, whatever. It's a lot of little weird. And KGSR has been doing it for years, and I guess they don't have the budget to really run it, or so HEB is in a bail amount.
I think it was. I think the whole thing was a publicity stunt.
Yeah. I think it was a cry for help to get money from the city or HEB to step in.
Stores,
God bless HEB.
HEB already runs
really
things.
Oh my gosh. So my cousin from South Carolina is in town right now.
Yes.
And they went to HEB and their minds are blown.
Oh yeah.
They didn't want to move here.
What did it used to look like?
No, they've never seen it before.
Oh.
If you live in the South and you got to go to like a Winn-Dixie or
Brookshire Brothers,
whatever,
Food Lion.
And then you come over here and you go to HEB for the first time, you're
yeah.
like, what in the heck in the world? This is organized.
It's not heck,
yeah.
it's hell.
Well, my dad retired, they moved out to East Texas. They were in the Valley, but they moved out to East Texas, and there's no HEB. They had
Brookshire Brothers.
Yeah.
Is the big one out there, which HEB had made a play to buy out Brookshire's, but it didn't, bless you, didn't go through.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's not HEB.
Yeah.
What's going on there, HEB?
But I guess they went to one of the fancy ones, and they're like, it had an escalator for
I believe
your shopping cart.
So,
it's like, y'all ain't seen nothing like that in South Carolina.
So Alamo Draft House is, like, for sale right now?
I saw that.
And I, like...
The chain is...
The chain, like, the franchise. And I think, like, HEB is, like, maybe wanting to buy it.
Some of the draft houses are privately owned. Like, they got, like... Oh,
it's like a franchise deal thing. Oh, sort of deal.
But I think the ones that are under this one belt of...
So which ones are those?
There's like 14 that have like an individual owner, I feel. And I think not. I think all the old ones are part of the new thing.
I don't like Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
I absolutely
if
agree
we're
with
having
this.
If we're having topics, I'll complain about it.
They have the best cookies.
So there's all right. Last time I went, we went to see the movie Bottoms. Excellent film.
Excellent film.
Oh yeah.
Excellent my film of the year. Everybody made fun of me.
Really good.
That was your film of the year?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
I know that's
what
I was
going to
say. It might have been mine as well.
Ruben, you're a bottom.
Yeah. Me and my buddy went. He had got free
Ruben.
Yeah.
For like press screening or whatever. And then, or advanced screening thing. So I was like, oh, I'll get the food.
Wrong.
Okay, we each got a burger and fries. We got each got a beer, and I think maybe a tea or something. And it's like 75.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was like about to put in the tip. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And it was like they.
I think the tip's already included.
It is. They call it a service fee.
Yeah.
They don't call it a tip, but they let you tip more if you want, but there's a 20% surcharge.
Him and his best friend, Tim League.
But it's just a sneaky way for them to pass
Brothers.
On the cost. They did. They had. I will say they did give all their employees a raise. Yeah. But this is a sneaky way for them to pass that cost on to the customer. Yeah.
Oh, but it's completely different, though. Back in the old days, they would have, like, each row had a waiter. Now, there's, like, one waiter for the whole theater, and, like, they don't even care anymore, and it's just pretty much, like, a free-for-all.
I don't
all.
Like being interrupted while I'm watching a movie.
That's too much. Late Night with the Devil. Why are you pulling a Reuben and saying the wrong name?
I like
I was
that's my job.
We go to the Galaxy. The Galaxy, you can bring in a bucket of fried chicken. You can bring like a.
There truly is no law.
Like,
in the Galaxy, which
like
I've always loved about the
I
Galaxy.
I love the Galaxy Highland.
They got the new seating,
and it's nice now. I liked it when it was dumpy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And nobody was there.
Don't they? Do they have beer there now?
Yes,
yeah, they do.
They got beer and wine and
they
all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
The Galaxy.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
They got great seats now, and I promise you, like on the weekend, yeah, it might get a little crazy. But if you go there like on a Tuesday night, there's nobody
there.
It's just you, Joey. That's it.
Well, too, you can get like a it's like a 44-ounce beer for like $10 or something.
Yeah.
So it's like
it's
Alma. Yeah,
I'll take a tub of beer.
Yeah.
Just put it in the popcorn bucket.
Have the can you put the butter in?
Next topic. You got any topics?
None of y'all probably remember the dollar theater on Riverside called the Aquarius.
Dang,
no, I didn't
that's
go to that
old
one.
School.
I think it was closed like mid-90s or something like that.
Aquarius.
There was one on Anderson Mill that I saw Cool Runnings there for a dollar.
That's nice.
I used to go to the one in Round Rock back when that one was still up there.
Yeah.
It may still be up there.
$1 movies anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. They converted the one in Cedar Park, the old Alamo, they converted that into a discount theater.
Okay.
Oh, that's the one, yeah.
That's cool.
That's where Aster's movie was.
Oh. Kiki.
In the lobby, they had a big,
it's like, okay,
like 20-foot tall mosaic Kiki's of the Aquarius. Like,
oh, that's amazing.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What is it? What is it now? Do you know?
I don't know.
I think it's that buffet place.
Yeah, it was like where the buffet
is. I know. I haven't been over.
You know where the McDonald's is? It's in that dead shopping center that's there.
Yeah.
I think it's
a
buffet
restaurant now. It was a little east of the Riverside HEB, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know, but yeah.
Shout out Riverside HEB.
That whole area is all just like everywhere else in the city. Yeah.
I was driving down that street the other day and I saw a bachelor party group walking down Riverside. And I was like, man. Times have changed.
Somebody got stabbed right across the street, and it was the show.
My high school boyfriend lived off Riverside, and he got his Camaro stolen.
Damn.
Of a car.
It was like an 82, you know? It was not.
Remember the guy who had the camel on Riverside?
No.
There was like this older like Mexican guy, and he had a camel, and you could like pay for like $5 to ride the camel. Just like right there in the grass. And then like all the animal rights activists are like trying to get mad at him. And he's like, he lives in my house with me. He's a camel.
Can we get him on the pod? Can we get the camel, the Riverside camel guy?
Wow. Like he just had a camel, just like a sign, like a real cheap sign. And you just walked up and be like, here's $5. And you get on the camel and he just like kind of like rope with a rope is kind of like walk you with the camel.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, it was great.
Oh,
I mean, unless you're afraid of camels, like I am.
Spit on you?
No, he didn't spit on me.
How many camels have bitten you?
No camels have ever bitten me. I've only been bitten by dogs.
Three times this year.
Well, that's been a tough year. You know, I won't get started on my life.
Got bit by a horse.
You been bit by a horse?
Yeah.
Oh,
cop horse.
That does not sound fun. Cop horse.
You're like, why the long face?
6th Street.
Can't
I was
hit
like,
him back.
Yeah, pretty horse. And it bit me. And the cops just laughed.
Did you gain horse superpowers?
I did.
Are you now a horseman?
I can't describe them in mixed company.
So true.
It reminds me of Half Baked.
Yeah.
I love horses.
Yeah. Buttercup. Butternut.
Butterscotch.
Yeah. Butterscotch. Next topic.
Next topic. Do you have any topics, Joe?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about the clips.
Oh, Monday at 1 o'clock. I believe it starts at 12:45, but the actual totality is at 1:30.
1:30. So I guess in Austin you get 2 minutes?
1.5 to 2 minutes, depending on where you are in the city.
And then Georgetown, you supposedly get 3 minutes.
What?
And then like
Fredericksburg and all them getting 4.5 to 5.
But I guess you may lose cell service for a while.
Oh, that's the rumor, that we're going to have no cell phones for 2 days.
What?
What?
Yeah.
I can't live without that.
First of all, yes, you can.
No, I can't.
You literally
got
a cell phone.
Wait, is Wi-Fi still
going to
work?
Year.
That's not true. I have a cell phone when I was 8.
You're 10.
It's not. So? He's not taking it. It's the sun.
Oh, thank you.
It's the moon.
Solar flares. I mean, also, this is just.
I hope it does.
This is just
that.
Conjecture. Nobody
down.
Really knows what's going to happen.
The lasers?
Well,
I'm not talking about the lasers.
In preparation, I bought a box of Uncrustables from Costco.
They're really good.
Ooh. Grape.
I was going to say grape or strawberry. Yeah. I like strawberry.
Certain
HEB brand. HEB has their Uncrustables now. I haven't
really?
Tried them. Yeah, there's HEB Crustables.
Well, we're going to try them next time. I'll get some.
At Cenote, we'll be having live karaoke during the eclipse.
What?
The only song you can sing is Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, they're only Eclipse related songs.
And Mr. Brightside. But so the eclipse is happening. A lot of different things are going on around town. Obviously, there's the Eclipse Milkshake at Sonic.
I think it's like cotton candy and passion fruit.
Sun
and
Chips
then
has the
then
Eclipse.
Sun Chips, it's Gouda, and then Sun Chips Eclipse, it's Gouda and jalapeno habanero collide.
Milkshake?
At Sonic,
that sounds
the
good.
Eclipse Milkshake.
It's going to be good. I went to
You're
Walmart.
Like lava flow chocolate, bro. That's like chili.
Lava flow. It's an eclipse. It's like it's the sun getting blocked.
Can
I think it should be like
not?
Chocolate orange.
Which one?
Oh, see,
because it was
Zach
orange
Banana
sun,
says that the same
moon,
the same laser that shot Hawaii and started the fires.
Oh, come on.
Is they're gonna shoot that again during the eclipse?
Yeah, oh
yeah. I'm out. Yes.
Well, supposedly, too, they're shooting up three rockets at the time of the eclipse to, like, get the government.
They're going to shoot down the moon.
No, they're not shooting down the moon, but they're shooting out three rockets to, like, gauge, like, this, like, energy source that, like, that they're using or something. I don't know.
Cosmic's having some sort of eclipse party. There was actually one eclipse party that sounded really good. They're going to do Dark Side of the Moon. And show Wizard of Oz on a screen while the eclipse is going down.
Cool.
I'm going to a screening of a Twilight eclipse.
Like they time traveled in 98 for that idea.
I dare you. God damn it.
98 was there.
I guess that idea was kind of me.
Yeah.
I got the board game Eclipse, the Twilight board game.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm going to play that with my cat during
Dark
the eclipse.
Side of
cute.
The moon. Yeah.
Where did you get them? You get them from the library?
They're at work. We sell them.
Did you pay? Did you buy some?
I have not bought them yet.
I was at Walmart recently, and they had a whole display for the eclipse. Keychains, buttons, pins.
You're so nice.
Oh, that's rude. I didn't see it.
Oh.
She was like, "Where did we get the glasses?"
We should put her on the podcast to hear her talk about. Oh, you can't be in the room with Renate's podcast.
But then, do you know about all the eclipse parties? So I think like Coconut Club's doing eclipse party.
Everybody's doing it.
A lot of
Utopia
Fest, and there's a thing in Burnett, the rave.
Okay.
The large EDM.
Somebody's going at the studio. They were talking about Monkey's Nest. They're doing. People are going out there. Not Monkey's Nest. Monkey's
Monkey's Paw.
Monkey's Paw. I don't know. Some park.
Yeah.
We're going.
4 hours. You ever see Dead Alive?
Yeah.
The spider, the rat monkey.
Yeah. The Peter Jackson movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Back in the day.
Me and Austin, the classics, we're going to be at the P. Terry's.
What?
Eating your chicken nuggets.
Eating those Eclipse chicken nuggets with that new Eclipse sauce.
Eclipse sauce.
It's just ketchup with activated charcoal in it.
It's ketchup. So. Yeah, yeah.
Spicy ketchup.
It's black ketchup.
Black ketchup. Oh, I love this town. So the eclipse is going to happen. They're expecting 1 million people. The airport is already.
Well,
that's worse than.
There's people. Honestly, I was at work today, and I work in a coffee shop restaurant called Cenote. Oh, and yeah. We were.
Shout out Cenote.
Is it busy?
There's already. Not that's busy, nice. But there's eclipsers in town.
I think it's going to be busy tomorrow.
This girl was in town saying that she just, like, took the bus here, and she's got nowhere to stay, and she's, like, going to hitchhike out to the country. And we're just like,
well, there was this girl that kidnapped Cam on the register, and she was like, yeah, I just got here. She's here for the eclipse. She's like, I just walked 45 minutes, and I'm just, like, really vibing. And I had to go out there
so
and get the handheld and be like, I can help the next person.
What do you call, like, girls that are really into the eclipse? Is it, like, ladies of the eclipse night? They're like, clips.
Stop. She clips.
Clipsies.
Clipsies.
Clipsies. Oh, yeah. Are you into the eclipsies?
Right now, there's like this another guy who came in today, and he was like an older gentleman. Him and his family, and they're already here for the eclipse. They just got here early to I don't even know what they're doing here this early. I was like, yeah.
I just like, who are these people that plan ahead for an eclipse? Like, I just found out about it last month.
Did you hear about, there's an older gentleman, I believe he's 105 years old.
What?
From Fort Worth, Texas. He's seen totality, like, eclipses his whole life since, like, the just 50s. Into it.
What?
He's been chasing eclipses his whole life. Like, he's been, like, to Iceland, I don't know, Russia, like, all these different places, the eclipse.
That's kind
of cool.
His wife passed away 2 years ago, so this is going to be his last eclipse and his first one without her.
Aww.
And like, he's going to be prepared, and he's already got his place in Fredericksburg or whatever. And he's in him and his eclipse gang will be out there. Eclipse it was buddies. A sweet eclipse story.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
they got eclipse ship.
What?
Eclipsion?
Eclipse.
Eclipsion.
Relation eclipse. Never mind. Next topic.
If we're lucky, into the world. If
all right, get him off the show. Get him off. All right, that's strike one.
All right.
We're about to eclipse the guest. Yeah, small towns are closing down for eclipse, but yeah, next topic.
So all the schools are shutting down also. This weekend, before the eclipse, is one of my favorite Austin traditions. Mm-hmm. Honk.
Honk. I love honk.
I love honk.
Explain
best.
Honk.
Honk is adult marching bands. Like they created their own marching bands.
Community marching bands. Yes.
And they come from all over the nation and they come here. And I think Friday the Stitchel Machine works. Saturday all day will be at Mueller Park and then Sunday at Pan Am Park. And there's different.
It's a lot of fun.
Different bands play.
Some of my favorite Minor Mishap marching bands.
Yes, when they play Mr. Brightside, I cannot wait.
They have like, they're like, there's like,
it's my sacred
30, there's like 30 members of the band or something. And they all dress up in black and yellow.
Yes, they all wear black and yellow. Minor Mishap marching band is my favorite. My friend Scott Lloyd hired him one time to play his daughter's birthday party. This is like 5 years ago.
Cool story.
It was insane. We were just like, oh.
That's amazing.
Like, there's only like six kids there, and like little Rue was just confused. Like, what is happening here? <You're> like, he loves that.
That's
mishap.
Great.
So honk is this weekend.
Yes, it is.
Hell yeah! Honk
can't
it
wait.
Up.
Honk it up.
Honk.
Exciting.
I love honk.
It's the best.
So there's a club in New York, and they have decided to not let anybody in that's born under the Aries star sign, and they said they noticed that the people that were starting fights at the club were all Aries.
Yeah, I was about to say.
How do they know that?
And they Aries still let Geminis in, but y'all have to pay double.
Ooh!
Damn.
Got me.
Ruben's a Gemini.
I'm a Gemini.
You're a Gemini?
I'm a Gemini, yeah.
Y'all got to pay double.
Jordan's a Gemini.
Jordan's a Gemini.
Did they release like, the stats of like, how it's affected the club?
No.
We've had no fights since.
Man, poor DJ Aries can't even get a gig there.
Yeah, Mr. Staple, what's your sign?
I'm a Leo.
Typical. Typical Leo.
Typical Leo.
What, do Leos get in? They're fine?
Yeah, they're fine. Aquarius is fine.
All right, then you're good. You can go to the club.
I got
to
play double, man. That's the worst. Life's hard.
I like to say I'm an aquarium.
I'm a water sign.
Water sign, yeah.
Air sign. I don't know.
Actually, I don't even know if I'm a water sign. I could be making that up. Next topic.
Next topic.
Hot topic.
Ooh.
Joey? Ruben?
The city of Austin has decided that we need more transparency with the money that we keep on losing to help out the
homeless. Okay, I have some insider info on this.
You went to the meeting!
I won't say the name of the council member that I spoke to. But he said there's been so many contracts that have gone out that they don't know where the money went or how it was spent or any of this shit. He said one of them was for this organization that gave helped homeless people get jobs, right?
Yes.
And their report, they got, I think, $200,000 or $300,000. Their report came back and they're like, yeah, we got 100% of our people jobs. You know how many people it was?
Three.
Eight.
Eight.
Eight. Like, that's the kind of shit that's been going on.
Yeah.
It's $200,000.
Yeah.
Austin
I'm like, I
could have
done it for $100.
Yeah.
You know?
Austin spent like $85 million on homeless resources. And like, there's more homeless people out there than I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah.
Ever.
So
So this money's being spent, but nobody's.
They were just giving the money away.
And they spent $1 million in vapes for homeless. So they're giving like vapes for the homeless out, you know?
No, they did not.
Yeah, they keep it homeless vape. Yeah, and
keep
so
Austin vape.
Yeah, for the homeless need vapes just like us. You know?
Man, I hope they kick you off the airplane when you go to.
What's their favorite flavor, Mary? On the what would be the homeless vape? Oh god,
cotton candy.
Banana cream.
Sonic Eclipse flavor.
Yeah, Eclipse. Yeah. Yeah, the city's coming out with Eclipse vapes for the homeless. That's where the money's going.
Is anybody going to give the homeless Eclipse glasses?
I was at the library. Look at it. Go blind.
They have them for free. They're gonna run out.
That's what they did last year. Remember the like little clips that we had last year? You could get your pair at the
two pair for the library. Austin, man, you know I'm down with the Austin Public Library system. They're my peeps.
Those are my peeps.
Actually, I know librarians who are actually have tables and they're showing some of their work at Staple.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Who is it? Do you know?
His name's Adam. He doesn't come.
Kobachek.
Yes. I'm not sure. I can't say his last name.
Ruben.
Kobachek.
He doesn't have a mic.
I don't know.
She was like, yeah. I mean, the guy was like, yeah, but I don't know. We might take it away. Which I thought was crazy. I thought that was, like, very odd for a library to not let you just drop a zine.
Which one did you go to?
The Central Library.
Don't they have a zine room there? Don't they have, like, a zine collection?
So I added my zine to the zine collection there. But
oh, that's cool.
So that was cool. They were like, we'll take a copy and put it in there. But they were like, well, we'll take more copies.
Should take them a bunch of old Staple programs to put in the library zine collection. That would be cool.
I have a few. I found a button. Yeah.
There's some regulation there, apparently.
Red tape, brother. Red tape.
I think we're going right into the interview with Mr. Staple.
I thought you were
going
to go rogue.
Your interview.
I mean, we could talk zine talk.
Zine talk.
Zine talk.
We love zine talk.
Zine talk.
Lena, you got to make your own zine. And then you can talk.
Oh.
It's easy.
Super easy.
Maybe not that easy, but this easy. I know. We've been trying to do our zine for like 2 years.
Oh, man.
We're on the cusp. I was actually proud of Julian for putting his zine out this week. I was like, hell yeah.
I know. It's cool.
Nice, I know. Man. It looks great, though. The test, the tester, yeah. I guess.
Mm-hmm. People are already hitting me up to get him a copy. Sister's cool.
I put it on my story. And I got a
war class home. They're like, hey, can you hold a copy for me? They said they went to like a coffee shop and they're already out. Like a couple people went to like a couple of different locations. They said they're already out. So,
yeah, right.
I think Epoch maybe out.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, Epoch's great. That was my go-to when I was in that neighborhood. So
I do love that neighborhood.
Actually knew the guys that opened that when they were baristas at a place called Mojo's down on the north end of the drag. And then that place closed down, and then there was a weird sort of diaspora of all the regulars. Then a year later, some of the baristas, they got an investor, and they opened Epoch, and busy from day one.
Epoch loves artists in town. Like I've gotten a lot of my art
Epoch's
put up in Epoch.
For 20
Julian's had some art in Epoch like too.
At this point, yeah, it's been about 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was just starting to organize Staple when Mojo's was still open. I walked in there one night. Me and my friend hung out there. That's where we hung out and wrote our comic book that my friend and I put out. And I was just walking through there one night, and I saw a couple dudes like working on comics. And I was like, "Hey, I'm putting together a comic book convention. want to do it. And they were like, yeah, dude. And so, and then, you know, one of those has gone on to be an award-winning author. So
oh.
Jane Thornton has won some Lambda Awards for her novels. But back then we were just scruffy punks. But yeah, and then I think Mojo's shut down not long after that. And then, but we started having the early planning meetings of Staple. We did it flight path in like 2004.
Wow,
yeah, that's a good joint.
I used to love that whole North Loop neighborhood. Yeah. It was like, no, I'm not saying it was like kind of run down, but it was kind of run down. But it was also just like everybody knew everybody.
Yeah.
No,
the pizza parlor was there, and like I don't know, it was just a different time. And
Stuff. Yeah, like
when did you start Staple?
When did you start Staple?
So the first show was 2005. It took about a year to organize it, put it together, because I'd never done anything like that before, and I had reached out to some people who were doing kind of the same model of what I wanted to do. It was like how. They were very helpful to me. And then yeah. First show was at what used to be the Elks Lodge off Burton Springs.
Oh, I love that place.
It's a cool venue, yeah. And we've moved it several times since then. And it was at a place called the Red Oak Ballroom, which was where the old North Cross Mall was.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And then we did it there 2 years, and we were about to book it for the third year, and they started knocking down the mall, so we had to move. And then we moved it over to the Monarch, which became the Marquesa, which is
AFS.
Where AFS is now. They took it over. They would have rented it to me, but they were, you know, if you've been in there, it's like three rooms. It used to be, it was originally a cheap movie theater way back in the 80s. And they had two of the rooms were just big rooms, but the third room was a theater. And then, so we had the show floor and the two rooms, but they were taking one of those and making another theater.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's half my space.
Yeah.
The first one I ever went to was at the Marquise.
That's the one, yeah. That's the one I went to, too.
Monarch.
Yeah.
The very first
it yeah, when the first time when we moved over there, it was called the Monarch, and it changed owners. And there's this very stressful story about that.
Well, that whole shopping center
became the Marquesa, and then now it's AFS, and then so we had to move again, and we went to the Millennium Youth Entertainment.
I was there for that one, yeah, the Millennium Youth,
which is
now a movie theater, right?
Yeah. Is it?
It is.
Yeah,
the skating rink.
No, the skating rink's still there.
Oh, okay.
The show was on the skating rink side.
Oh, okay,
the
movie theater.
Yeah,
it's got three or four rooms.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, they had it was a great place. They have a skating rink, food court, bowling alley, a game room, a little party room, and then they had a small theater, which was perfect for us to use for like panels and presentations.
Yeah.
Or
and now they just had Blue Starlight.
Took over the theater.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, they've been showing like a bunch of like underground, like local stuff too.
Yeah.
That's
that
cool.
The first movie I saw there was that Nick Cage movie, Dream Sequence. Oh,
yeah.
That was a good movie. But, I mean, I like how it's just a one-screen theater. If you're, like, waiting for the movie, you can play a video game or something, like an arcade game.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's pretty, like, I feel like old school.
I haven't been to the theater yet. I vote there.
Oh, yeah?
That's my voting spot.
I vote there, too.
Yeah, the Millennium.
Yeah. But then we did it at Millennium, like, 3 or 4 years, and then the pandemic hit. And you know, they were like closed. You know, okay. I wouldn't have tried to organize a show during a pandemic, even if they were open. But it was out of my hands. I couldn't. You know, they were not operating. They used that time to renovate. I understand. I haven't been back over there, but yeah. And then so I had some stuff in my life that sort of prevented me from working on it, and then Jeremy Johnson, who teaches video game design at St. Edward's reached out to me about a year ago now, maybe a little longer. It was like, hey, we have space over here at St. Edward's. I'm a fan of your show. I miss it. Like, I see it come back. Why don't you come take a look?
Yeah, how long was it? How long was the hiatus?
So it will be 5 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
A little short of it, because it was in October of 2019 was the last one. This will be April of 2024.
Yeah, people are excited. You're doing, like, the after party, too, at...
you have to do all the whole thing, all the stuff.
There's so much stuff going on. Yeah,
awesome books.
Yeah, the pre-party. Okay.
After parties at Far Out.
Yes.
Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. We traditionally done like this live art show, and it was sort of chaos. We made it. Eventually, we turned it into a benefit for Co-op Radio 91.7 Radio for People, Not for Profit.
Yep.
It's a great station. We have this partnership with them, and. So the live art show, if you've been to one, we'll have like some easels up and some art supplies, and the artists and comic book creators from the show will get up and they'll draw something right in front of you, then they'll hand it off to co-op volunteers, and you can make a donation to co-op and take home some cool original art. It's a lot of fun.
Well, that's fun.
It's a lot of fun, and I think I understand the same way. So I saw... walked into Far Out when they did the Lone Star Zine Festival there, like year before last, and I thought this is a great space. And then when I realized I was going to do the show at St. Ed's, I was like, that would be a great spot for
the after.
Afters, yeah. Show.
What made you get into like doing this? Like, because it's just like you've always had a passion for independent comics.
Around 2003, I guess, my friend, artist David Lamplew.
Yeah, that's where I met him, was at the thing. Okay. And we're on a lot of movie sites where we talk about, like, movie review stuff.
He
has that comic, movie reviews, he has a comic called, is a cat comic that I got.
Yeah, so that's the one we worked on together.
Oh, amazing. Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I have a signed copy of that from that, yeah.
That Damned Cat.
That Damned Cat, yeah, okay, yeah.
It's, I have my pitch down. If I can, it's been a minute. Let me pull that out of the dustbin. Yes, it's a supernatural black comedy inspired by the true story of the cat that knows when you're going to die. My 10 seconds.
That's the pitch.
Are there going to be copies of that available at the...
And then if that, you know, if that appeals to somebody... I got pretty good, you know, so... Yeah, we were making comics. We had a comic we did before that called You Chose Right the First Time, which is kind of a crime noir. Set in the 60s. 60s Chicago. It starts during the DNC riot. But as... 68 DNC riot is kind of a background for, but it's like all these gangsters and mobsters and serial killers, and you know, it's just very, it's fun. Violent. It was the first, so that was the comic that he and I wrote sitting out at Mojo's and smoking cigarettes and taking notes. It basically bullshitting, excuse me. but we took notes. we would have been bullshitting anyway.
Spitballing.
We wrote. What our bullshit down and turned it to a comic book, and then we're like, okay, now what? we've made this. We got the, it. It ran for 7 issues, which we eventually collected. But we had this first one. We printed it up. Dave worked at Hazel Art, which was an art supply store near campus, and it was next door to IT Copy, which was like. Yeah, it was right on MLK. It moved. It was kind of west. It was east of Guadalupe, and then they got moved west of Guadalupe. Anyway,
it's Guadalupe.
Building space with a business called IT Copy, who made photocopies for students, you know, and professors to get your course.
So this is like a way to get your comics out. You're like...
Well, we made friends with the guys at the copy shop, and we got free copies. But then... But
free copies! Making copies!
You know, so we're like, what? Yeah, now how do... What we do? I mean, you can take... if you're doing it, this is why events like this are important. Mm. Because if you're making your own comics or zines, the only way to get them in somebody's hands is to go get a table at a show like
yeah.
this. And at that time, 2003, 2004,
yes.
there was maybe five in the United States that sort of focused on DIY self-published comics.
Small Press Expo.
Small Press.
Yeah.
SPX. It was like Baltimore.
And I feel like there's a resurgence for it, too. I feel like a lot more people now are zines are coming back into.
Yeah, there's a lot of great zine shows, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more now, but yeah. The thing was, like, I'd met all these people in Austin that were making comics and just around Texas.
Mm.
And they were like, yeah, so you got to go to show, you get a plane ticket, you got to get a hotel room, you got to get a table at show, and then you're selling this stupid mini comic
hoping to break even, yeah.
$2 or whatever, you're not. Yeah. You're not going to
yeah.
break even.
Yeah.
There's no.
All investment.
Yeah, it's just.
But even
I'm
the old
have
staple.
A vacation that I work.
You had, like, even some of the bigger, like, not like super big, but like, I think First Second was at it before, and some of the other
we've had,
publishers.
We've had Top Shelf has come
Top
out
shelf,
a few
yeah.
times. Yeah, we've had some more kind of pretty big, medium size
yeah.
Up there. Indie publishers have shown up at it, which is really cool. But I mean, we started it basically as a way to sell our comics. It was like, there's enough people here. Let's do the show here, and then we don't have to travel. We can just, you know. And then
I mean, at one point, y'all even had some, like, bigger names that are, like, even, like, super big now. But at the time, like, you had, like, Brian yeah. Wood and Chip Zdarsky. Mm-hmm. I think.
Chip. I love Chip.
Hope Larson had won at the Millennial.
Hope
Larson's so great.
She's sweetheart.
Yeah.
She's great.
There's so many, like, just good creators. And
we always try to, yeah, so our sponsors help us out by bringing in a guest, and we try to get somebody. You know,
well, there's a lot of comic book artists and writers in Austin.
Creators, yeah.
Right? There's a lot of people that do that in Austin as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a pretty big, like, comics pro
community. I think Donnie Case may still live in Austin. I'm not sure.
Donnie's here.
We had Bigfoot Knows Karate. That he's, you know, an Austin cat as well.
Yeah.
Who else? Cully Hamner was here. I'm not sure if he's still here. There's pros.
Becky Cloonan was living here, but I think she might have moved.
They moved.
Yeah. She was great.
Her and her husband.
Yeah, he's also writes and stuff.
Those guys are great.
Yeah.
We went out and got shit faced one night. They were
I believe it. She's like she did like the Sword album cover.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
She did that, and I think she might have done a Mastodon.
All right.
Album cover too, like she's
full circle.
Circling back, Sword. One of the guys who worked at the copy shop that gave us free copies was the guitarist in the Sword.
Oh wow!
Then he became a rock star and quit his copy.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Now they have their own hot sauce, their own beer cans. Yeah,
the band was great. So that band, the JD Cronies leads that band. He moved here from Virginia. Because he was in a band with a guy named Ben Snakepit, who makes comics, and they had a band called Ultimate Dragon, super like heavy doom metal band.
They
kind of broke up, but then he formed the Sword.
I feel the Sword could have their own comic too.
They should,
just because their album art and everything is so cool.
Like
yeah.
I said, Becky did one of the album covers and like designed the T-shirt and stuff for them. And I don't know, she's one of my favorite creators of all time. Like,
it's great.
Been around for a long time.
So, who are some people that are going to be at Staple this year that we should look out for? The shout outs.
The shout outs.
One of our big guests this year is Ron Rigi Jr. He's got book. He's been self-publishing comics for about 20 years, but now he's out on Drawn Quarterly and Fantagraphics. It's very interesting psychedelic stuff that he does, and he still self-publishes, even though he's being published. He has a list of about 100 people that he mails a comic book to, that he hand makes.
Oh my God!
Once every month or two or something like that. So he's the real deal. Yeah. Interesting cat. I was watching the interview with him. His stuff's very a lot about like esoterica. He did a made a comic about the philosophy of hermeticism.
Oh wow.
So it's heady stuff. And then Maddie Lubchansky is a webcomics artist. She out of New York. She's was an editor at the Nib. So she has a lot of very sort of political webcomics that and all very good. And then local star we have Jessica Howes does a comic called Litterbox Comics. Which she started just around 2018.
Is that cat related? Is that a cat related comic?
It is. So it's
all right, I'm in.
It's about the stories are like kind of true or modified stories about her and her family, her husband and their two kids. But she draws them all as anthropomorphic cats.
Perfect.
Right, and everybody in the comics in some sort of anthropomorphic animal.
How much are these?
And then, well, you can read Litterbox Comics online for free because it's a web comic.
Oh.
Litterbox Comics.
She started this in about 2018, I want to say. It was a hit out of the gate. And now she has like 500,000 Instagram followers.
Oh, wow.
They're working on a animation pilot.
Oh, man. That's great.
So it's really successful, and it's a delightful comic to read.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick up that one for sure.
Is it one of the panels, like a video game panel?
Yeah, I was like coming up with the program, and I worked with a guy that pitched me a couple panels. John Henderson, who works in the video game industry, he's like, let's have some panels about this. And he kind of helped put together a panel of folks who work in digital industry, like video game writing or art and or various digital creative things. And they, you know, there's been a lot of layoffs and that stuff. And these folks are all veterans and have all been laid off before. So they're going to talk about, what do you do? Like, how do you plan for this? How do you find the opportunities and downturns in the industry and stuff like that? So that's one of the panels.
That's definitely scary.
I think will appeal to people.
It's good. Are the paper copies free?
No.
How much are they?
Of the Litterbox comics?
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh. I don't know.
We can go and check them out.
Yeah. You have to go.
Every artist will have a different price, kind of like for different like. It kind of depends on, you know, you just kind of walk around and talk to them. And usually, I'll be honest, like, the more you just hang out and stuff, they'll, like, give you, like, I'll take those stickers and that sticker copy and this. It'll be, like, $20 for the whole
thing. There'll be a lot, there's always a lot of cool free swag people are handing out.
Yeah, there's always, like, a little bit of...
Yeah, I always have, like, stickers or buttons on me.
Here's a deal,
trade.
I'm going to throw this book in also. Or there's always some friendly stuff like that. It's kind of great, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, Jessica, who draws Litterbox, she's just one of 100 artists that are over 100 artists that are gonna be there with all the stuff they've made, and they sell it. Yeah,
and it's not just comics; it's like either now it's like games and zines and
there'll be everything, stickers and pins and
prints,
toys.
I think.
Wait, where is this place?
Ah, good question.
I'm listening. Where is it?
It's at the Maybe Ballroom at St. Edward's University.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Next weekend, April 13th, 14th, Saturday, Sunday.
She's in.
I'll be there Saturday.
Gotta go.
Bring the kids.
Kids 12 and under get in free.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm bringing my kid.
I don't think we...
The terror.
In the past, we've had like some of the programming specifically aimed at kids.
Yes.
We were able to... Everything was a little last minute this year, but we still got us all lined up. We didn't have anything specifically for kids, but I think
this is the return.
Adult
I feel like we love the fact that the return of staple is the most important thing about this. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just glad it's. I
oh, thanks, man.
First
as soon
there,
as Robin,
it was over.
I didn't have any plans. I was like kind of floating there. I was like, you know, people kept asking me, "You gonna do it? When's it
coming
back?"
Yeah, it'd been so long. I was like, "Well, maybe you know."
I don't know.
It's expensive, you know, to get the hall and you know get all this organized. You know?
Well, and just the prep and everything to do it. Yeah. Ruben was talking. He was like, "Man, I'm so glad it's back because it's like the only one that's like this."
Yeah.
Like, because you know, other like conventions are focused on like cosplay or the celebrity factor, but this is like the true artist, independent, you know, that you want, like that we like to support, you know, the kind of the punk,
like I said,
the punk rock of it all.
They, I mean, this is like you said, it's like the outlet to meet other like-minded, you know.
For sure. I mean, yeah, if you're like making a comic book or a zine, it's a very solitary thing. You're like in your kitchen drawing or we're at your studio, but in, you know, concentrating on the work. But then once you've made it, you need a space with other people to connect. And, you know, actually,
can't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I've made friends there, you know, David. You know, we talk about movie stuff, but but it's just, it's like, because they're cool, like-minded people that are all, like, you know, you get to meet up and kind of hang out with your friends.
Well, that's kind of part of, the word staple to me has sort of multi layers of meaning, and what does a staple do? It connects pieces of paper, staple the event.
I thought it was an Office Space reference.
So, could be, stapler. It's whatever you want.
I do love a stapler being your symbol of,
Yeah.
For all the shows up through all these years, you know.
Well, if you're making your own comics, you've certainly encountered a stapler.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it has that meaning, but it's also like art is a staple that you need in your life. You know,
we need
staples connect things. This brings people
next
together.
Year we'll get a table, put the zines on it.
Yeah.
If we ever put it out, it's gonna be great.
It's also, and I like to say it's the imperative verb form of the word, because it's all caps, exclamation point. And so it's like, hey, you staple, make something. Get off your ass.
No, it definitely, like, it inspired me and Ruben, because we're like, oh, we should do this kind of stuff, you know? Like, like, it's because you think of, like, making a comic or a zine or any or game, you're like, man, this is too hard. I can't do this. It's too expensive. And then you see people doing it, and you go, oh, this is something I can do, too.
Yeah, I'm over there like
bugging right,
people. So great. Wolfie.
She better get her two cents.
But yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a fantastic time. Do you want to shout out anything else? Any artists? Anything?
Well, I just get all the information about it at www.staple-austin.org. And it's got the full schedule. There's over 2 days, there's 7 hours of programming. Got pre-party, after-party. It's got the show. It's got link to tickets. Only $12 for both days. $15 at the door, so get them ahead of time.
That's crazy. That price, too, is such, like, because everywhere you go now, it's like, especially conventions, you're paying $20 for parking.
That's so expensive nowadays.
I know. So, like, having been a person who sat behind the table selling comics, when the show charges you $50, $100, whatever to get just to get in, and you don't have any money.
That's the thing, at that price point, you can.
And it, but this, is the, but you can't make it free.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why, because then people who don't have any money show up for something free to do.
Yeah,
and you know, I've been those people too, and you want to. It's nice to have a free thing to do, but this is a bunch of artists who are trying to sell their work.
Yeah.
So you kind of need to gatekeep a little bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I try to keep it as low as possible.
We'll be at Honk for free this weekend. You know what I'm saying?
No kidding. Yeah. Cause I've worked shows too that are free, and somebody come by your table and you give them your pitch. This is the comic about the cat that knows you're gonna die. Blah blah blah. They sit there and talk to you for 10 minutes, and then you try to like make the sale. Like, oh, I have any money.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I always feel bad because I want to like walk around and like talk to everybody before I buy something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I want to like just see the room.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of bad.
That's
fine. Because then you start spending money, and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm broke.
I'm broke. Yeah.
And then they go to that one guy who's like,
go broke.
I was like, man, how did I get broke before I even got to this table? And this is the one I really wanted to get to. And blah, I don't know. I'm a dumb.
The great thing about like comics and zines and stuff, it's at a low price point where it's like you can buy a bunch of them, you know, and go around. And then you're supporting these artists. Find them, get an awareness out. Cause
get a sticker for a buck. Get a zine for $2, $3.
Yeah,
bucks,
and
four
I mean,
bucks,
if you
bucks.
Really want like to spend more money too, you can like get an original piece of art or something. Like a lot of them will be doing stuff like that too. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I guess so the pre-show is gonna have a live painting, like a live drawing.
The
far out show.
The far out the
Saturday night.
We call it the after party, but it's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
Austin Books is a pre-show.
9 to midnight, and yeah, the pre-party meet and greet, I call it. It's just go to Austin Books, it's free, walk in, it's going to usually, Brad usually puts a
keg out there, keg, yeah, out. They'll have a keg out as everyone's just kind of like talking comics.
And then, yeah, it's just, it's a nice warm up. It's, we've done that since the first year, yeah, in 2005, and I was like,
Chip did a print that they had the Austin Books that one year. That was great. Yeah. I think it was the Sex Criminals print.
Chip Dzarski.
Ooh, right, yeah. I like Sex Criminals.
I had met Chip Dzarski. Chip, it's not his real name. Yeah. You know that.
It's a stage name?
That's all I got.
Yeah, it's like Steve Smith or something.
Steve.
He's Canadian, you know, so.
I'd met him previously. Yeah, he's a hoot, right?
Yes.
And then we booked him right before, I guess, Sex Criminals, like, it
blew up, yeah.
Hit. We were like, oh, let's get this guy. This is, you know, I already know him. He's been making this cool comic. And then, like, the week after we booked him, it was like, Time Magazine's number one graphic
yeah.
novel.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
But he's nice.
Oh, but I've been following him for years on the internet. He's always been doing kooky stuff.
You've been following him for years?
Oh, yeah, for real.
Yeah, he's
like a, I don't know, he's funny.
He had a web comic that he kind of doesn't talk about anymore.
That's what's cool about Stable, too, is seeing people that are kind of starting out and that may blow up. You never know. Or just like,
for sure.
Or just like seeing these things.
Oh,
that's
definitely
like,
happened before. Like, you've seen some people there and you're like, oh.
I think he's got a travel ban on coming to the U.S. or something, so I can't get him back.
Oh, wow.
Terrorist. But
Canada, you know.
But yeah, I showed up to the pre-party, and he was already there, and I don't know, I kind of like snuck up behind him, tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around, he jumped up, and wrapped me in his arms and legs and kissed me on the mouth.
Oh.
In front of about a dozen people. I was like, yes. Okay, sure.
He's, I don't know, he's so funny.
He's hilarious.
I agree. Any other questions, guys?
No.
Staple, the uncle.
We're excited,
Staple?
Though.
We're definitely excited.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Can't wait. It's going to be great.
Think so.
Can we?
Yeah, we're excited. 5-year hiatus. Ruben's like, I wonder if they're bringing it back. I wonder.
I honestly didn't know it was 5 years. I just know it's been a while. But
those 5 years are a blur.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, the first two don't even count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we were,
and then the last three, we've just been recovering.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, and I had like family crises and different things that I had to deal with. So it was like,
yeah.
So
are you gonna have your comics available there as well? Like the Darn Cat.
We quit making comics.
No reprints.
Yeah.
So that noir one too. I would like. I want to get a copy of that.
We can't get free copies. That copy place.
I will pay.
Out of business. Yeah.
gotta go bug the kid at FedEx downtown.
That copy place went out of business, and they were selling off the copiers. And me and four other dudes went in and bought a copier, which we stored at this guy's house. But then we don't have it
for being like an independent artist. Yeah, I make friends with the postmaster, so I get those discount posts. I make friends with the print shop, so now I got those discount prints. But yeah, you just. You make friends as a, you know, if you want to be a zine maker or a comic book maker, make friends with like the Kinkos and
everybody's
the.
Really
you got to, right. Yeah.
And so then you're able to put it out or like at an affordable price too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Haggling at Kinkos, I love it.
You got to do like a zine making class or a comic class so you can teach your ways.
Like way more expensive than it used to be too, but you can get like what a lot of people own is they'll kickstart, you know, find like a printer out of China or something.
Yeah.
And they get it affordable. But you know, but before you can kickstart, you gotta already be a known quantity before you can kickstart a comic.
Before someone could want
to. I know friends that for their zines, they'll go to garage sales and buy old printers that still have enough ink and use those up and then go get another one. But yeah.
Gonna use your printer at work to make her a comic book?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Forgot about
duel.
That. Nepo baby.
That's what we do. We make out of dude.
Using your mom's printer.
We'd staple them ourselves and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you got. I mean, that's what he was doing this the other day with his zine. He was
nice.
Yeah, getting them out.
That's how you do it.
Can we smoke in here?